I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson The Secret 2. I am joined by my gorgeous girl Laura Anderson, and we have a special guest.
Let me see Buddy.
Oh, Buddy! Oh. Buddy can't make any noises. He doesn't usually bark.
Oh, babe, he's like a little teddy, isn't he?
You okay, Angel? Oh, he's got a sore belly. We'll just pop him down on my lap there.
Poor Baba.
He'll just sit there and be good.
Oh, how has Buddy found the move to Dubai? Is he all right? Is he happy?
Do you know what? He loves it. It's really weird. He loves the heat. He always wants out in the garden, even in the summer. I was like, I'm not going out there. And we had to, like, I can't really leave the door open and just let him go around because he'll stay out there all day. It's weird. I never thought he'd be like that, but he does love it.
Milo's the polar opposite. Like, won't even get in the morning. He comes into bed when Mummy and Daddy. He wakes it up. He wants to go for his walk. He wants everything. So he comes in, has a cuddle, and that it's lush. But at night time, no, it's too hot for Milo. He lies on the floor and protects her from the monsters.
Yeah. He doesn't sleep with us. Dane's very strict.
If we have kids, he'll
be the strict parent. He's like, no. He's like shouting at me yesterday because Buddy always sits and puts his paw and looks up at me when I eat. And he's like, you shouldn't be letting him do that. He's a dog. I'm like, no, but he's my baby.
He is. Honestly, mate, you sound like me in a can. So everybody's like, Vicky, you've lost loads of weight recently. And I'm like, do you know what it is, right? I swear to God, Milo gets half of everything Mum eats. He just has to look at his mate. He doesn't have to beg. Like, he's not a beggar. Yeah. He just looks and I'm like, you're hungry, son. And before I noticed, I'd half my sausage baguette. So, yeah.
Aww. To be fair, Buddy can't eat that much. So,
Milo can put
he's
it away.
He's not making me skinny.
No, I mean, you don't need a girl, you look class. But yeah, Milo is a top scrunner, aren't you? And Erkan goes mad. But I feel like there's always got to be one good cop and one bad cop, hasn't there?
Yeah, but then it's almost like when I'm the bad cop, he's like, oh, leave him alone.
stick to your role, Dane. Stick to your role.
I'm like, well, I come in and he's like, got him like right on his face, licking him. And I'm like, you're all right there, you two? He's like, I think he needs a swimming lesson. And then like takes him in the pool and tries to teach him how to swim. I'm like, he hates it. He's not a swimmer.
There he is. Where are you, sir? There you go.
Look at the size of you.
You handsome boy.
I was brought up with a black lab and a golden lab. They're the best dogs.
Honestly.
They're mental when they're puppies, but then when they get to a certain age, they're really calm.
Oh, wow. I've got a mental bit at the moment. But
I know.
You said just there, which I think was very interesting, when we have kids. So that's obvious. You've obviously spoke about this, haven't you?
Yeah, do you know what we have? And we started trying, like, really quickly. I think just because... Yeah, like, I've got no filter, I just say everything.
Nah.
But, yeah,
it's
we did
start trying.
It's fucking
great for me. I'm just watching the headlines rack up as a bug goes.
No, but I've been on the pill for years. I don't know about you, but so long I was on the pill and I thought, do you know what, this is probably not that good for my body. Mm. And why does the girl have to, you know, if you're in a relationship, you're not using condoms, whatever, like the girl's on the pill, right? So I was just like, should I just come off it? And we won't like 100% try, but I got the app. So I tried like when I'd be ovulating and stuff like that. And he was like, well, if you're going to come off the pill, we may as well just track it and do it properly. And I was like, all right, okay. He's like, it'll probably take ages. But yeah, we've come into a bit of a hurdle. Like, we've got some problems. So I don't, I don't think it's going to be as easy as... I'm always like really positive and I'm like, yeah, it'll be so easy. And he was like, no. So he was right. So yeah, you just got to go to the doctors and check, do lots of checks. But I'm sure it'll, whatever, you know, there's lots of different options as well.
Of course, God.
But yeah, it's quite common, like loads of different things for men and women. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Do you know, I think, like, this is again, and, like, we're talking about, like, sort of being a bit disillusioned in we're youth with Disney films and stuff, but even, like, with things, more adult themes, like pregnancy and stuff, like, we're completely disillusioned in our teens and 20s to believe, like, it's something that will just happen if you want it. And, like, it's so much more difficult than that. Now I'm in my 30s and so many of my friends are trying for babies and getting pregnant and all the rest of it.
Same.
You realise that it's not as... It sometimes is not as easy as just being in love and wanting to have a baby, which, like, nobody ever told you that it could potentially be hard. And
I think people just didn't really speak about, you know, maybe miscarriages or infertility.
That's correct.
I think it's infidelity. Anyway.
Oh, God, Freudian slip.
Maybe we just didn't really talk about it as much, but obviously it was always there. But how old are you now, Vicky?
So I'm literally 34 in like 2 weeks, mate. So I just had a conversation.
34.
Yeah, I just had a conversation just yesterday, which is why this feels so like it's really hitting home with me, with my designer about freezing the eggs. We're just not there, me and Erkan. And like, I'm not like, so obviously you've gone, Dane's older, while I'm dating younger. Bit of a cougar, bro. Don't want to rush his Erkan's timeline.
It's harder situation for you because, you know, like you say, you're older and I feel like women almost have this stigma like, oh, you're trying to trap a man. And I would feel worse, like, because I would feel guilty. I think it would be difficult being with a younger guy. And it's probably, he probably is ready maybe and you're not 100% sure or whatever the situation. But my friend just... did the freezing of her eggs, and I think it's a great idea. Do you know what I mean? Because you can still, I think you can still freeze your eggs and then, you know, still get pregnant naturally without losing those eggs anyway later on. But it's a good little backup, and I think, you know, you just need to explore all options and what suits the couple that you're in. And it's not really the same as anyone else's, is it?
No. And like, this is what we were saying yesterday, me and my designer. It's such, like, I think it's such a power move for a woman to actually go and take that step and make that conscious decision, because you liberate yourself of any like sort of time constraints. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'd love to be a mother in the next couple of years. I'd love it to be as straightforward as me and her can love each other. We get married and then we have children. But like we've mentioned, Law, sometimes it's just not that straightforward. And God, who's to say when I feel ready, I'm not going to feel ready at 42. And that does put you in a category of being a geriatric mother. Like, God, I think I'm actually even there now. So it's just really hard for women. And I don't think there should be any stigma and there should be anything
It's
other.
Not fair. Like, why do we have to be of such a certain age? Like, especially for women that are successful, you know, it seems like you lose 10 years just like that because maybe you're working or your focus is elsewhere. And then you're almost like hit with this, oh, by the way, if you don't have a baby within the next few years, your chances are, and then it's this pressure if we don't have enough of it already.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, yeah, definitely. Have you already looked into it, yeah?
Well, I'd looked into it a couple of years ago when I did a TV show. I, you know, broke up with me ex at the time, and of course I was expecting to be married by now, have kids. Quite frankly, I probably would have also been fucking divorced if that relationship had gone ahead.
But
you know, so I was in a headspace where I thought I wanted kids, so I was like, oh my God, like, I don't want to rush Erkan. Our relationship was brand new. Obviously we're 3 years down the line now. But yeah, and I remember thinking, I'm going to look into this, and I did. And you know, they were really kind, and the process is relatively straightforward, but she did say, you know, I'd encourage you to do this sooner rather than later, which I found really scary.
That's the thing. I know. My friend's doing it right now. And you have to, it's like IVF. It's like the preparation for IVF. You have to inject your belly.
Oh, God.
And it does something. I know it's scary, but it's only 3 weeks, I think. And then I definitely think it's something that everyone should explore. I think that Amy from Love Island, did she not do it?
Yeah, I think
because I think her mum's so lovely. I think she went through like an early menopause. So I think even though Amy's quite young, I think she actually
she's preempting potentially.
Yes, exactly. Which you know you can't control, and you just have to take and control of your life and make decisions that are going to benefit you. So I think if you do it, would you like? Speak out about it. I think you should.
Yeah. Like if you do it. You know me, I'll speak out about it. I kind of keep anything a secret. Do you know what I honestly think's been stopping us doing it sooner? And I hate myself for saying this, right? But like, I just kind of think, you know, once you do that, you sort of tell yourself, it's almost like mentally telling yourself, I'm not having kids in the next couple of years. That's what you're saying. And like, I felt like, I don't know.
No, because you can still do it naturally, though.
I know, of course. But, like, you know, sometimes when you say that, it's almost as if you're admitting to yourself, like, I am not going to be a mother in the next couple of years. And I'm not in this mad rush. Don't get us wrong. But, like, I do see all my friends and things.
Like, in your head, that's what you're thinking. But I think the best thing to do is go to the doctor, get all the information of how many eggs you've got left, how many are good, and then you take some out, but then you still keep enough where you could get pregnant naturally within the next few years.
Oh, so I don't want to limit options.
I think you can do that. No. What if somebody turns the freezer off?
No. I'll definitely keep some in my little ute. Is that where eggs live? Do they live in the uterus? I should know this. I'm a woman.
Yeah. They live in the... What Shoot? The two...
Fallopians.
No, wait. No,
because they get released.
You're slated for this.
No.
You've got the tubes, but then you got the two ovaries. They're in the ovaries.
That would make sense. And then they come down
the fallopian tubes, and then your uterus is where you make the baby in the middle, and then when you don't make the baby, it comes down as the period.
Okay, so, right, let me just... So, the uterus is like the oven where everything is cooked and made.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and then...
That's in the middle. You've got your two tubes, and then your ovaries are where the eggs are.
Ovaries are like the egg sacs, and the tubes are like the motorway.
That's just where they come down, and that's where they meet the sperm. So they can only meet the sperm there before they get to the top. So that's why, like, every time you have a period, you have your period from one side or the other. So your egg that's coming down to be fertilised, doesn't get fertilised, it might be from the left, so your period is from the left that month.
This is really interesting.
Yeah, because I had a scan, and they told me I was just about to get my period, and they're like, you're going to be ovulating from the left ovary.
Fucking hell. Amazing, isn't it, right? I just think it's so hot. It's such a difficult thing to navigate, and it's so personal for every woman. And I know I've had friends who it's just happened for really organically, and then I've had other friends who've really struggled and so deserving of being a mother, and your heart just breaks. Mm. So, no, Lord, I'd never want to be in that position if I can avoid it. So I think you're right. I'm definitely going to... Do you know what? I'm actually going to come off this podcast and make some inquiries. I'm serious.
You need to find out all the information before you can make a decision. Like, you don't really know what you're working with until you get loads of checks done. And if you got the checks done a few years ago,
things could be different.
Could be totally, totally different. So, and you're not admitting defeat. You're not saying, I'm not going to be able to be a mother naturally. I'm not going to be having a baby the next few years. You're just having a backup plan. And if you say that to your doctor and be like, is this the right choice if that's what I want? And they say yes, then you just need to trust them and go with it. Because if you don't have that backup plan, you'll be like thinking about this podcast and you'll be like, I should have listened to Laura.
I know, mate, honestly. And, like, it is a good backup plan. It is a serious power play. And I am going to feel like a boss bitch when I do it. So, yeah, you've convinced me.
You don't know yet. You might not, but you need to find out all the facts of if you suit that category and what that could do for you, if it's right for you. Do you know what I mean?
Mate, I really hope that everything works out for you and Dane. You'd make a fantastic mother.
Yeah, I think so. I'm a good mum to Buddy.
He looks like a very content little boy.
He's very content. I've learned a lot. I think you learn a lot as an auntie as well, like living here. I was, when my niece was born here, you know, my sister's here, and And it really taught me a lot. She's such an amazing mom, and and I'm really close with my niece because she's an only child. So I think I've had some practice. I do love kids. I just totally believe what's meant to be will be. And I think, like, you just have to go with, like, your gut instinct. And I know that I will be a mum. And I think we just need to get over, like, a few hurdles and then see, like, what happens. But I'm pretty positive.
Oh, you've got to stay positive, mate. And, you know, I always say, nothing in life worth having comes easy. And I have a friend who tried for 7 years and, like, 3 rounds of IVF, a lot. And, like, I know by no stretch of the imagination is that the worst fertility journey I've ever heard or the hardest one, but it truly resonated with me because I care about my friends so much. And I watched someone who, in my eyes, was just made to be a mother, really struggle with that. And it was heartbreaking, but now she's got a little girl and she's beautiful. Oh, okay. And it's just so, it makes her so much more special because she is that miracle.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, ideally, I think, because Dane's like, you know, if we need to do IVF, we need to do IVF. And I just think, oh, I don't really want to. Like, I just never thought this would have to happen to me or whatever. But, you know, and I'm thinking, God, all the money that you need to spend, would you be resentful if it didn't work, and the stress between the two of you and all this stuff? But we're not, like, at that point yet. Like, he still needs to get, like, some checks and stuff like that. But you can't really plan for these things. Like, life just throws you a curveball, and it's about how you get through it, isn't it, and how you deal with it. And there's just so many people that have been through it as well.
Yeah,
like so many people.
So common.
You think it's just you, and then you're like, no.
No, it's so common, and, like, it's brave of you to talk about it, Laura, and I appreciate you trusting me with that. Mate, I've got to have a different change of tack here, because I fall into the habit when I'm on Zoom, and I know loads of other people do it as well, like, of just sitting and staring at myself a little bit, and I'm just looking at my wrinkly face, and I'm like, how the fuck does she look so good? I read somewhere not that long ago, mate, that you'd had one of those, like, skin things done where, like, it measured your skin age.
Oh,
and you were really shocked.
Yeah.
I read that you did, like, a test and it showed you your skin's age, and it was like 10 years older or something than what it was. Have you been really good with your skincare since? Because you look unreal, mate, have you?
I've got makeup on.
Yeah, I've got makeup on.
I'm facing the window.
So I'm fucking mate. I still look like your ma.
But I've got the Dubai sun. You've got clouds, see?
Yeah.
No, but definitely. Since Love Island and seeing myself on TV, and, you know, I used to like my freckles and think they were really cool, which I still do, but I had a lot of skin damage just from being in the sun, being a bit lax. Like, you know, I was brought up bloody putting, like, oil on and wanting to be tanned as. It's a British thing. And I think, like, I don't know, like, Americans, Australians, they're good, they're a bit smarter with their sun cream, and just being over here, like, just in the sun all the time and not really thinking. Now, I don't put my face in the sun at all. I always wear a hat, factor 50, and I've just been lucky enough to have a lot of different, like, facials, peels, a lot of more, probably higher, like, quality skincare. And I'm just, like, religious with it. I think when I did my first peel and my whole face swelled up and, like, literally burnt off.
Was it painful?
Because I was literally peeling for about 2 months.
No.
Yeah, it was constant. It's that retinol you put on and then it peels again. It was all around my mouth. And if you put makeup on, I was just, like, peeling off. But it's totally worth it, and it's made such a difference. Like, I do look different without makeup on. Like, I've got foundation, so you can't really see, but I've got, like, pigment sort of on my head. Yeah. It kind of looks like Africa. Like, it's a bit like the map.
Oh, that's
Africa.
The shape. Oh.
You do look great, mate.
Oh,
thanks. I got some dodgy Botox the other day, and I swear to God, it didn't even work. So I don't know. It's not that.
No.
And then my eyebrows look like a scouse brow. I don't know what happened there. It's a wee bit tinted too much, but yeah.
No. Don't even start. You look amazing. Just take the compliment, I swear.
I'm so bad at taking compliments.
You must
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You must have always, I think, had to have taken a real pride in your appearance, because before Love Island, before everything, you were cabin crew, and like, it's just notorious. And I know it's a stereotype, but it's for being beautiful, glamorous, very well put together women. So tell me, like, how you got into that. Like, you did love it. You've spoken so openly about how much it was, how passionate you were.
It was such a big part of my life. Like, that was kind of my career, because it was like 10 years. So, you know, I left school young, did well at school, but left pretty young, like 16, and kind of got into like a dead end office job and met a girl there that I just loved. We became besties, and she told me about cabin crew. I never really knew anyone that was cabin crew. I didn't really see it as a real job. Like, I felt like when you were in school, it was like, you know, your guidance teacher would be like, you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer, this or this. And I just didn't really know it existed. So she told me all about it, and I just went for it. Started flying like in Scotland, just in like short flights. Then I moved over to Cyprus and worked from there. Then I was down in London, and then eventually moved over to Dubai. And I was only 21 and just loved it, because Emirates here kind of, they set you up with an amazing life. Like, they give you an apartment, you know, you get to go to these places, you get a lot of discounts, you get like flights home and stuff like that for all your family. So it was quite, even though it sounded scary, and like loads of people message me now all the time about Emirates, and I always try and give them advice and stuff, because it's one of the best things I've ever done. Like, you know, if you're even, like, I remember moving up to business class and having to like greet like businessmen. You know, I'm only like a young girl, it can be quite intimidating. It just taught me so much about confidence. And I think if you ever work with the public and you have to almost like serve, you just, you know, you learn. It's just a different kind of way of speaking, communicating with people, and sort of, yeah, taking a pride in your appearance. Like, Emirates were very strict with that.
Yeah. Go on, tell me some of the things with Emirates. Like, have you ever known someone, and I know this is terrible, but have you ever known them like let someone go because they didn't look a certain way, or they let themselves go or something? No!
So Dubai is very not like PC. There's no like unions in your work, and they just literally would tell you that you're fat. Like, there's literally like a fat camp.
No.
So you have to stick within your BMI. If your skirt's too tight, you get you can get offloaded from flights. Well, to be fair, they would just tell you to get a bigger skirt, but you have to have a certain BMI. It's more because of the physical side of the job.
They get away with it. They get away with it.
And to be honest, the aisles are tiny. And to be honest, like, to look at some of the crew, like, I wouldn't say all the crew were like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's like voluptuous girls and there's like bigger guys, but I don't know, I just got used to it. That was just the way it was, and there was no gray area. Like, you were either this, you know, BMI or whatever, or you weren't. And that was just, they did say it as, this is the physical, da da da. Like, I wouldn't be able to have my hair like this. Like, you weren't allowed roots. You had to have, like, I think, like, all the airlines in the UK, like, you can have, like, your hair up with, like, bits hanging down. And it was, like, it had to be, like, pure scraped right off. You had to have, like, a hairnet. Like, these nails, whoa, they would not pass.
Honestly, so what, like manicures all the way as well?
Yeah, so if every flight, you would go into a briefing and you would have like an Imogen uniform check. So you'd stand, show your fingers, like your tights, your shoes needed to be polished. Like, you had to steam your outfit, like your scarf for your hat had to have like no makeup on it. You had to have spare, Like, it was, yeah, it was, like, intense. But you know what? You got so used to it, you would get annoyed if someone didn't have the right nail polish on, or you would, like, pick up on stuff yourself.
Because yeah, you thought,
I can't wear that. Yeah, like, if I can't wear that, even, like, your red lipstick, I used to try and get away with this slightly burnt orange red.
Oh, you rebel. Like, you rebel.
Or, like, a pinky one or whatever. So it's just, like, I just don't suit red lipstick. And they're always like, Laura, your red lipstick's not right. And I was just like... Yeah, so it was quite intense, but you know, it's because there's so many of us. There was like 20 odd thousand of us from every country you could think of, all interpreting different rules differently. So like, we weren't allowed to wear false eyelashes or actual like stick on like really long nails just in case they went in the food or a bloody eyelash fell off. So they did have to have quite strict rules just to kind of accommodate everyone. Like, you weren't allowed to wear braids unless you had afro hair, or you weren't allowed to, like, men weren't allowed to have like the beards, or like, you weren't allowed to have like a fade if you could see your scalp or something.
Oh my god. So honestly, this is madness. Like, I knew there would be a couple of rules, but I had no idea it was gonna be this stringent.
Great. Grooming isn't even half of it. All the like training you have to do, and every flight you get asked like all these questions, like safety, security, emergency procedures, like we do like firefighting, and like the security is really hard. Like, you learn how to restrain people, and the medical side to it as well is massive. Like, there's so much medication on Emirates, and like, we're allowed to do like a lot of stuff.
Oh my god.
Like, deliver babies and shit.
Oh my god. So fucking hell.
There's a lot to it. It makes you feel quite important. Like, that's why sometimes it used to be annoying. Like, people would treat you like shit on the flight and just be like, you're just like a waitress, like chicken or beef, whatever. But, and or they would ask you for stuff when you were busy doing like a different type of duty. Like, service is second. Like, we were there for your safety primarily, do you know what I mean? And it was good in the UK because like your captain that would back you up with stuff like that, but like in Dubai it was a bit like customers just knew if they complained enough that they would just get what they wanted, so it was hard. I was like, yes sir, fucking prick, like fuck's sake. The Arabs are the worst. They're like so like they just get away with everything.
I think they expect a serious level of customer service, don't they?
Oh yeah, 100%. They do get that.
Can I
from
ask?
Me anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure you're fantastic. Can I ask, right, two questions. Has there ever been anything scary happened on a flight, like whether it be like with the actual plane or whether with a customer? Has there ever been a moment where you're like, fuck, I'm trapped in this flying metal box and I'm very scared?
Yeah, like loads of things happen quite a lot. Like, people get really scared of turbulence. I don't know why, because it's never really going to do much. Like, you would never fly through like when they have the, oh god, what's it called? I forgot. It's like all the different color. No. No, it's in the flight deck. It's like the round screen. It's called something. I can't remember. Anyway, it's got like all the different colors of like the density of the clouds. So like, you would never fly through red. So, and the aircraft, like, the wings can literally touch. It's that, like, fucking bouncy. Like, it's... And they have the things for, like, the lightning. So if lightning strikes the plane, it just enters and exits. So
like a conductor, really, almost. Is that the right word?
Of heat.
I've just called a fallopian tube a motorway, so I'm not exactly on fire today.
But, no. Yes, things have happened. Like, I remember, like, the landing gear didn't come down, like, 6 times. So we had to circle and circle, and then we were running out of fuel, and then they had to put like crash mats on the runway, and we thought we were going to have to do like emergency landing, but then the last time they just came down.
Oh my god, I am not air hostess material. Like, I am not cabin crew material at all. Like, I'd lose my fucking head. I'd panic. Nah.
But you know, the worst thing that can happen, the pilots are amazing. They would have landed it and it would have been fine. But the worst thing really that can happen is a fire.
Right,
like,
okay.
The honest to god, like, fire, there's so many, like, we call them halons, fire extinguishers. There's so many, like, in on the aircraft, and like the response of a cabin crew with the fire alarm is literally, I'd say, about like 3 seconds, like, because we would have a lot of false alarms, people spraying deodorant or just smoking. People still smoke, by the way.
I was just gonna say this, so I've when I treat myself, you know, or when I'm working and I travel business class and stuff, you expect like, oh God, everyone's going to be really nice to us. I've paid this amount of money. At least that's in my head. Anyway, I've been in like just about landing in Australia. You're knackered, you're done in, you look like shit. I'm giving myself a bit of a freshen up after 24 hours in the sky. And I sprayed a little bit of dry shampoo. When I tell you, they nearly braid my door down like, and I was like, holding the door like there with my little toothbrush and my little spray can. And they were like, are you fucking smoking in there? Are you smoking in there? And I was like, doing my dry shampoo. And they were just like, oh God. And honestly, I was expecting an apology. Nah, they just walked off fuming. And I was like, I'm very sorry about that. But that must be because they're
so
worried.
It's so hard because it's just... They say the aircraft will be engulfed in flames within like 90 seconds. Like, literally, it's, and the thing is with them, people put the cigarette butts in the bin, and the bin is full of
paper
like
towel.
Tissues, and some people like walk past and they put like little mini alcohol bottles in the bins as well. So that again is, do you know what I mean? There's like a self extinguisher, like there is a self automated one in the bins. But yeah, we do full training in simulators. You do like the back of the hand, if it's like hot, cold door, if you just like crack it open, or you can go in and we have like the full smoke hood and like the flight deck, and they can get, obviously they know what's going on as well, and they would straight away like look for alternate landing and stuff just as like preparation. But yeah, fire is, people sit, like I would do like flights to like India and people would just be sitting in their seat like smoking, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, because some of the like labourers in Dubai, like they've never been in a plane before, like they just don't get it. Like they'll just like do the toilet beside the door, they don't know there's a toilet, and you're just like, mate, you've just pissed on my door.
No,
like, oh, I'm not joking you. Aircraft people lose all sense of hygiene and they just are absolutely vile, disgusting. That is true fact.
Right, from that extreme to the next, before I finish this podcast, I have to ask you, are you part of the Mile High Club?
Yes.
Yes! I fucking would be!
Do you know what? I said this before I went on Love Island, and they were all like, she's going to get fired. I was like, mate, I just left my job to come on this show. Like, I'm not stupid. But I didn't do it when I was working. I would never do that. I was a passenger. And yeah, I was with my boyfriend, and I mean, it was absolutely rank. Those toilets are vile. Doesn't matter if you're in first class, whatever. They're so dirty. But there's like a partition between like certain ones on certain aircraft, like depend on the configuration. But you can take the door off, so you got like two toilets. So that's what I did.
Oh, babe, that's such a... Well, if anybody's looking to join the My High Club and listen to this, that is a top tip.
Right, mate, I'll let you know. But yeah, to be honest, like, I just wanted to get it over and done with. I just wanted to do it to say I'd done it. Like, it is just one of those daft things. Probably would have been better on maybe like a private jet.
Yeah, maybe.
Stinky Emirates flight. But yeah, I just did it. I just did it to do it. And I was just like, really hope this is over really fast.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Poor Erkan, I don't even really shag him in a bed. He's never getting sex in the sky. I cannot be bothered. It sounds really uncomfortable, but well done for you. It's definitely a bucket list tick.
Yeah, I just did it to do it. It was like, I think it was near the end of me flying. I think I was just like, oh, I need to do this.
I said bucket list tick there, by the way, not bucket list dick, but either would work.
or
Laura,
tit.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you today, mate. You seem so happy, and I'm so pleased about your new fella, your new life in Dubai, everything. But I do have to ask, before I let you go, we always get our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners kind of like a little pearl of wisdom. We call it our secret too. And you know, the first part of this pod was so filled with chat about resilience and like really trusting in your journey and finding your way and, you know, doing things your own way, which is often really difficult when there are so many other people around you telling you to do other stuff. But I know that you found your happily ever after, and there'll be so many people listening who want to find theirs and feeling like they don't really have the confidence to trust their own instinct. So I want to know what your secret is to going with your gut.
I think the secret to going with your gut is just almost listening to your own feelings. Like, if you feel good when you're around someone, if you feel happy, positive, when you're doing a certain job, then I think that is for you. And it goes the same as if you feel bad or down when you're in a certain situation, then that is not for you. So I think just recognizing your own feelings, listening to yourself really tells you maybe what choices you're supposed to make. So you just need to trust your own instincts. Don't listen to what people say in sort of like exterior situations or people. I think your feelings sort of guide you, and that's what your gut is, isn't it? It's a feeling. So yeah, trust your instinct, your gut, and recognize how you feel, and you should make the right choices in life.
Oh babe, but it's so right. Like, you, there's that saying, and I'll get it wrong because I don't use it a lot, but it's kind of like you regret 100% of the chances that you don't take. You know?
Yeah.
But like...
Yeah, of course. Like, nobody knows what's going to happen in life, and, you know, nobody has the same plan, nobody has the same story. Like, you are in charge of your life and you make your own story, and you can make things work even if they're difficult as well. So I just think if there's something that you really want and you have to believe that you deserve it, you should just go for it and worry about... If it's a relationship, you and that person, or if it's a job, just worry about how you're going to make it work. Just don't always be so easily influenced by others' opinions, because that just throws us off. I think we know what's for us, and it's other outer, you know, exterior people or media or whatever that makes, like, doubts us. Like, we just need to stop doubting ourselves. We're responsible for our own happiness, and we need to take that responsibility, make the decision, go with your gut. And you never know, like, what could, you know, flourish from it.
Be the captain of your own happiness. A little the airplane captain. Pun for you, just to end.
Cheers, Big A.
You're welcome.
Over and out.
Oh, I love you, mate. Thank you so much for being such a lovely guest.
Oh, thanks for having me. I feel like I'm sat in your house with you. You're so cute.
Well, guys, that was the lovely Laura Anderson there. Doesn't she just sound so happy? Oh my God, you know, really deserves a happily ever after. If you are based in Dubai, guys, Laura's in a pantomime over the festive period. I think it's from like the 14th to the 28th of December, and it's must see. It's also got a fella, Dean Bowers, in, if anyone's another Level fan like I am. Get yourselves down there. You can get tickets from Virgin Mega Stores, online, at Book My Show. There's loads of different places, but I'm sure there'll be more information over on Laura's Instagram. I loved having her on. What a fantastic guest. Vicky Patterson, Secret 2, available to listen to wherever you listen to your podcasts. Tell your mates, leave reviews, do all of the podcasty things. And have a great week, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.